Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to That Wrestling Show, the podcast where all pro wrestling matters. I am your host, Bill Yankovy, and what a fun week it's going to be here on the show. Just 1 week until our big Halloween episode. Talk about that later on. But this week, going to preview two pay-per-views that are happening this weekend. Impact Wrestling's biggest show of the year, Bound for Glory, takes place Saturday night, and Sunday is WWE Hell in a Cell, and this week on the show, going to preview both shows, even though one of them, as of this recording, only has four matches announced for their pay-per-view, so you'll have to wait and see which one it is, and I'll give you a clue, it's not the one happening on Saturday. Plus, got to talk about the finale of the G1 tournament, who won it, and what their road leads to, possibly. Plus, the most talked about segment of the year in professional wrestling, and I mean, it has been talked about so much in 48 hours. I want to begin with some rather unfortunate news, and this is, I'm not really sure how many other wrestling podcasts are going to talk about this story that I'm going to bring up, but I'm going to talk about it anyway. Over the weekend last week, the wrestling world lost a young gentleman, a young professional wrestler by the name of Príncipe Arreo. He was only 26 years old. 26 years old. That's very young. So, the original story, when the news came out that he had died, was that he had suffered a heart attack in the ring during his match. I don't know what the promotion was that he was working for. I'm going to say it was an independent promotion in Mexico. And the comparison that this death got was of Hank Greenman. I think that's the player's name. And for those that don't know what I'm talking about, in 1990, Loyola Marymount had a really good basketball team that year. And they were the best team in the West Coast Conference. They played, you know, or they still play there to this day. So they play their conference tournament, and their best player is Hank Gathers. That's his name. I couldn't remember. It had to take me a minute. During the game, Hank Gathers collapses on the floor of the basketball court during the game and eventually dies in the hospital. They get into the NCAA basketball tournament that year because they did win the conference, and were one win away from going to the Final Four that year. But they ran into the eventual national champions of that year, UNLV. Loyola Marymount has not made it back to the NCAA tournament since his death, which is kind of sad to think about, that they haven't made it back since that tournament. But Hank Gathers was the big player on the team. He was the star player on the team, tragically passed away. And that's the original comparison that got brought up. Then the following day, another report came out. Lucha Blog was the one that tweeted this out. And the official medical report that came out was that Principe Arreo passed away from a ruptured middle cerebral artery, not a heart attack. So let's take a look at where the middle cerebral artery is. The middle cerebral artery is one of the three major paired arteries that supply blood to the cerebrum. The MCA, that's the abbreviation, arises from the internal carotid and continues into the lateral sulcus, where it then branches and projects to many parts of the lateral cerebral cortex. So basically what we're talking about is the brain, is what we're talking about. This is one of those unfortunate deaths that you can't really predict. You can never see it coming. It's one of those untimely deaths that, you know, you didn't even know was going to happen, but you still feel bad for the wrestler, for the family, for his friends, his fans. And it's a shame, especially at 26 years old. Such a young age, 26 years old. You don't want to see that happen to anybody like that, especially, you know, being a professional wrestler. But our thoughts go out to everybody who knew Principe Arreo, and his friends, his fans, his family. A tragic loss in the world of professional wrestling. He will be missed. I want to talk about another topic that came up this week, and this one is one of the most interesting stories I think we will ever find in our lives. So what I want to do is I'm going to play a clip for you. This is a pretty famous soundbite that I'm about to play. It is from SummerSlam 1992. It is at the very beginning of the show when a young fan makes their prediction for the Bret Hart British Bulldog Intercontinental title match. Let's go to the clip. British Bulldog is going to win whether he wants to or not. That is one of the famous quotes of fans of all time in the history of wrestling. So, the thought for nearly 30 years was that the kid that said it was a boy. And, I mean, when you watch the clip, and even when you see the picture, you think it's a boy. Then, Somebody made a custom action figure earlier this year of this kid. Of this kid saying, or, you know, just dressed the way they are, and they even have the card. Well, after 28 years, one of wrestling's great mysteries has been solved. The fan that said it was, in fact, a girl. The identity has been revealed. This is a young woman by the name of Amy, who went to SummerSlam as a Christmas present that she got from her family. So, when talked about this, besides saying that that was the best Christmas present she ever got, she said that she remembered everything about that night. Meeting Paul Bearer outside of the locker room, or outside of the restroom, pardon me. She does have, in fact, a Twitter account. If anybody wants to follow her, let me pull up the Twitter handle. Oh God, what? Dang, I did have this. So yes, this kid that said the famous quote was in fact a girl. How fantastic is that? Amazing. So if you would like to follow Amy, she does have a Twitter account. It is at SummerSlam Kid. That's all you have to do. Type, you know, if you have a Twitter account you'd like to follow, just type in at SummerSlam Kid and you can follow her. And she right now has almost 140 followers, so let's keep it up and make her feel, well, you know, make her feel appreciated that she has wrestling fans around, or she has fans around the world, just like, you know, this podcast does and other wonderful places. All right, New Japan Pro Wrestling, the conclusion of the G1 tournament happened over the weekend, and for the second year in a row, Kota Ibushi won the G1 climax, defeated Sonata in the finals of the tournament. This makes Ibushi, believe it or not, only the third person to ever win the G1 climax 2 years in a row. That shows you how hard it is to repeat as a winner in this tournament. The only other two to do it, Masahiro Chono and Hiroyoshi Tenzan. So, right now, Ibushi is, as of this moment, scheduled to challenge at the main event of the G1 climb, or at Wrestle Kingdom in January. However, in November the 7th, it's only 2 weeks away, he will have to defend that contract against Jay White. Jay White put the challenge out the day after. Ibushi accepted the challenge, so it will be on November 7th, Kota Ibushi against Jay White for the contract to the main event of Wrestle Kingdom. And that event, Power Struggle, is a pretty packed card because you have Minoru Suzuki defending the NEVER Openweight title against Shingo Takagi, Kenta against Hiroshi Tanahashi. That is for the right to challenge for the IWGP US title, and Tetsuya Naito defending both the IWGP Heavyweight and Intercontinental titles against Evil on the same show. That is going to be a jam-packed show on November the 7th. Okay. Let's talk about this week in wrestling. And I think we saw, if you didn't watch, you missed out on some good stuff. I think we saw this week where AEW is right now as a whole and where WWE is as a whole. So Monday night was the season premiere of Monday Night Raw. And to be honest, I'm just going to say this as a fan. Why do we need a season premiere?
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Why? I know you're, you know, following the TV trend. Your season premiere should be January. That's what I would think. But that's just me. Oh, that's probably the executives. Hold on. So, Raw begins with Alexa Bliss and Bray Wyatt coming out. They stand in the middle of the ring. Retribution comes out. It's 5 against 2, basically. They're going to beat him up, but the Fiend and Alexa magically disappear. Then Hurt Business comes out. And this leads to an 8-man tag match. And the end of the match is T-Bar taps out to the Hurt Lock. And it only gets worse for Retribution. Because after the match, Bray Wyatt comes back and he beats up every single member of Retribution except Mustafa Ali. Ali managed to get out of there. But he beat up Mace, beat up Slapjack, I still want to call him Slapnuts, and beat up T-Bar. So, within about a half hour into this Raw, they have killed whatever momentum Retribution had. So yeah, we're probably going to be into a Fiend versus Retribution feud. Oh joy of joys. Later in the night, we have an Elias concert. And I'm actually not going to bash that. It was, you know, it proved that Elias could actually sing. And he could actually play guitar. I would have waited until the pay-per-view Sunday. Probably could have gotten a bigger audience. I'm not really sure. That's my only gripe. So he sings the song, and then when he's done, he says this one line. It is so great. He's like, "Thank you! I love none of you!" Oh, what a funny line that is. What a funny line. So then Jeff Hardy tries to kill him with his electric guitar, because, you know, rivalry. Oh, and Elias has a new album coming out Monday, if anyone's interested. The funniest part of Raw was Ms. Morrison and Tucker. Tucker challenges Ms. Morrison to a tag team match. They say, okay, pick anybody you want. We don't care. And they come out for the match, and Tucker introduces his partner, El Gran Grando. Or Gordo, pardon me. And you know it's Otis. You know it's Otis. But it's still funny to watch. And I have to give the announcers credit. They sell El Gran Gordo as this legendary luchador. And it actually comes off pretty good. Will we continue to see Otis in different characters every week for a little while? I'm not really sure. But that's going to lead me to my next issue. You had the draft the previous week on both shows. the idea of the draft was to get new talent on new, on different shows, or swap talent on different shows. On SmackDown, like I told you last week, we already knew Braun Strowman was going for the Universal title, and Jeff Hardy was going to face Lars Sullivan. So besides Otis, we had the Riot Squad come on to Raw in a four-corner tag match. You just had the draft. You finished it. It is over. They have to be on their new brand. I don't get WWE. I'd like to think I do, but I don't. And then NXT, I want to talk about the ending of NXT. So, they managed to find a way to change the main event of the show, because Breezango was to defend the NXT tag team titles against Roderick Strong and Bobby Fish of Undisputed Era. Well, Fish and Strong got attacked during the show. Okay, alright. It's a good idea. So Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan replace the original challenging team to be the challengers for the tag team titles. Then we get to the end of the match. Breezango look like they're about to win the match, when a masked guy comes out, pushes Fandango off the top rope. Lorcan and Burch finish off Tyler Breeze. 1, 2, 3. Burch and Lorcan win the tag team titles. Okay, they're a good tag team. They're good wrestlers. They won the tag team titles. Then the masked guy comes in and celebrates. And it's like, okay, well, who could this be? And because I did catch the end of this, because NXT went like a couple minutes longer than AEW did this week. And the guy takes the hood off, takes the mask off. It is Pat freaking McAfee. That's right. The special teams player of the decade in the National Football League, the punter of the Indianapolis Colts, Pat freaking McAfee, is back on NXT. I'm trying to understand that, hey, he's a wrestling fan. He can cut promos. His one match was a decent match. Do we really need Pat McAfee on our TV every week? This would be like if after WrestleMania 1, Mr. T decided to be on television, not on the A-Team, but be on WWF television every single week. It gets to a point where people are going to be upset. It really is. So yeah, WWE can't figure out what brand the wrestlers are supposed to be on. They have that stupid, one wrestler / team could come over per quarter onto the other show, and you have a former football player who all he ever amounted to was the special teams player of the decade be on your show. No. WWE's just lost right now, I think, direction-wise. However, AEW this week was a hell of a show. Dynamite was an unbelievable show this week. They had the first round of the number one contenders tournament. They had all four matches, and I thought each match did its job. Wardlow and Jungle Boy was the good big man small man match. Kenny Omega and Sonny Kiss was a squash, but it was a good squash. Because, okay, originally it was going to be Joey Janela. But because he had been in contact with people who did have COVID, they decided to take him out of the tournament, replace him with his tag team partner, Sonny Kiss, which I totally understand. Colt Cabana and Adam Page told a really good story, where Cabana is the veteran, Page, he's had a few years in the business, but he's young and he's good. That told a good story. But the best freaking match on television this week, and maybe the best match on all month in wrestling, was Rey Fénix and El Penta M0. Those two blew the roof off of Daly's Place. Those two had an amazing wrestling match, an amazing lucha match. It was fantastic from beginning to finish, and I even stayed during the picture-in-picture bit, because sometimes when they do that, you know, I'll change the channel to find, you know, whatever else is on. But here, I was like, this match is good. I want to stay with this. And I watched the whole match. It's one of the best matches from television all year. Both men busted their butts in this match. Both men did everything they could. And I think they outperformed the expectations that we all had as fans. Let me see if Meltzer gave a rating for this match. I'm not really sure if he did or not. Doesn't look like he did, but if I had to give it a rating, like if I had to do the whole star rating thing, I'd have gone 4.5, maybe 4.75. But that, you know, that just, if I did the star ratings, I do grade ratings, there's a complete difference. So Rey Fénix won. However, towards the end of the match, if you saw the match, Rey Fénix took a bad bump on his head. So news has come out, and it's unfortunate news, that Rey Fénix had a concussion. So because of that, Penta L0M now takes his spot in the semifinals of the tournament. Because Rey Fénix and Kenny Omega would have been an amazing match. But Penta and Omega is still going to be in an amazing match. So the semifinals for next week's episode is Wardlow against Adam Page and Kenny Omega versus Penta, with the final match being at Full Gear, which I'll mention in a minute. So you got your semifinals set. Then we're reminded that Orange Cassidy is going to get his rematch with Cody for the TNT title on the next show. We find out during the show it's going to be a lumberjack match. That's my only complaint, honestly, is why does it need to be a lumberjack match? It's not like the match ended on the floor. That original match ended in the ring with Orange just running out of time. I think it's going to be a good match. I really expect it to be a good match. But I think the lumberjack stipulation might be a little bit too much. We had the four-way tag match as the main event of the episode of Dynamite. Young Bucks won. FTR and Tully injured one of the Young Bucks, so they're going to play that injury gimmick up to the show. We also found out the main event for Full Gear, Jon Moxley against Eddie Kingston in an I Quit match. I am not going to lie. I am going to root so hard for Eddie Kingston to win the AEW title. I have watched him on videotape and DVD. since I was 20 years old. He is one of my favorite wrestlers going right now. He's one of my all-time favorite wrestlers. Plus, I used to mail him Christmas cards for many years, you know, and I did it, you know, because he is one of my favorites. And I did this after he had gotten an injury in 06, and I was like,
with Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I sent you a Christmas card. He sent me his address. So for a few years, I mailed Eddie Kingston a Christmas card. And to see him now in the position to be in the main event of a pay-per-view in 2 weeks is amazing. And then if he wins the title, I might cry if he wins the title. The match is going to be an I Quit match. So that's going to be even more fun. But then we got to talk about perhaps the segment of the year. The segment of the year for professional wrestling. One of the greatest things I think I've ever seen in my life, and I'm not saying it as an AEW fan. I'm saying this as a wrestling fan. It's La Dina Debonair. Between MJF and Chris Jericho. And it's like, okay, what's going to happen? Boy, we did not see what we ended up getting. They end up... Okay, so if you haven't seen it, I've put the video... I've put the link in our Facebook group. And I actually will read one comment that we did get from one of our Facebook members. Daniel Williams wrote, gold, pure gold. And he's absolutely right. So the segment begins with Jericho and MJF ordering steak to Velma, or Thelma, I wasn't really sure. And they have a talk, and Jericho mentions, oh, I'm going to have a town hall meeting next week to decide if you should join the Inner Circle or not. And then we end up, after like another minute or two, we end up in a musical number. A musical number. And I'm like, what? You know, like, I'm watching it. And my thing is like I'm watching it. It's like, holy crap, MJF can sing. And there's that. And then Jericho is dancing, because he did do Dancing with the Stars many, many years ago. And we know MJF can sing because he was on the Rosie O'Donnell show 20 years ago. So they're doing this whole musical number. And I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever. It's fantastic. And then they have the dancers. And I'm going to mention something completely random in a minute. But it was so good. I was laughing. I don't think I've seen one negative, you know, like, comment about it. And I'm sure there are negative comments. But, my God, this was so brilliant. I mean, I will defend why I'm saying this. For a year, we've known AEW to be the alternative to WWE. And they've done a tremendous job. They've done, for the most part, everything right up to this point. And then they go out on a limb. They go out on a limb and do a musical number. You never think in 1,000 years AEW would do a musical number. But yet they do. And it's hilarious because they got the two right people to do this. And then the ending is, you know, the steak bit, which I thought was funny as well. It was a slam. It was a slam dunk. Home run. Hit out of the ballpark. But I will say this, and this is such an obscure reference that I'm about to make, that when I heard, the song is Me and My Shadow, and they actually got permission from the estate of Frank Sinatra to do this song. They didn't have to do that. They really did not have to ask them, but they did. And they pulled it off. They pulled it off. It was amazing. So the reference that I was thinking of during this was Scooby-Doo. Yes, Scooby-Doo actually sang Me and My Shadow from the 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo. You don't believe me? Well, here's the clip. Do not ask me why I had that thought in my head when I saw this bit. I just did. I just did. So there was no Masked Singer this week, but there was something I did want to talk about last week that I did not get a chance to talk about, and I actually recommend this. On independentwrestling.tv, they have their own version of the Masked Singer called The Masked Wrestler. And they are doing a single elimination tournament where the winner will get a title shot at the Independent Wrestling Championship. So what it is they've taken 8 wrestlers and they've put them under masks. So they have to, they're wrestling and they have judges and they have to figure out who it is. I watched the first episode over the weekend, or on Friday, pardon me. And I kind of enjoyed it. It was short. It was not long. It was not stretched out. It was a perfect length. It was probably 20 minutes at best. I would recommend it. You know, if you have the chance, check it out. It premieres on Wednesday nights at 7, an hour before The Masked Singer does come on. And check it out. I mean, if you don't like it, you don't like it. But if you like it, it's great. But I just wanted to talk about that real quick. When I was done recording last week, I was like, oh, I can't believe I forgot to talk about that. But I'm glad I did here today. All right. So, we have 2 pay-per-views this weekend, back-to-back. Haven't had one of those in a while. Going to start with Impact Wrestling, and their biggest show of the year is tomorrow night, Bound for Glory. After they had one of the best pay-per-views of the year in Slammiversary, can they do it again? Can they pull off, you know, 2 amazing pay-per-views in a row? The card looks really, really good. If you can't watch it on regular pay-per-view, Fight.tv is the best way to go. It really is. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to, go through all the matches, and I'm going to make my prediction as to who will win. And I will start with the pre-show match that was announced earlier today on Twitter, it is Dez and Wentz of the Rascals against Cody Deaner and Cousin Jake. Should be an interesting tag match. It's going to be completely different styles of tag team wrestling here, but I do see the Rascals winning this one over the Deaners. On to the main show, we have the Call Your Shot Gauntlet. What it is, 20 people are going to be in it. Timed interval for every person that comes out. It comes down to the final two. Once you're down to the final two, the only way to win is by pinfall or submission. Whoever wins earns a future championship match of their choice. So, as of this moment, here are the participants in the Call Your Shot Gauntlet. Heath, Rhino, Hernandez, Ace Romero, Larry D, Tennille Dashwood, Taya Valkyrie, Brian Myers, Tommy Dreamer, and Havoc. Hernandez has the best odds. He will enter the match last at number 20. Rhino, on the other hand, will start at the number one position. So if Rhino's going to have to win this, he's going to have to go all the way from beginning to end. I have no idea who the other 10 people are going to be. This can be a fun match because you actually have the women involved this year. I'm going to go for a bit of an upset. I'm going to say Heath wins this match. If I had to guess a surprise entrant, I'm trying to think who just got released from WWE or AEW lately. Maybe Matt Cardona. Never know. It's very possible. Alright, the rest of the card. Eddie Edwards taking on Ken Shamrock. Ken Shamrock is getting inducted into the Impact Wrestling Hall of Fame. He's getting inducted by this guy named The Rock? I've never heard of this guy. The Rock? Dwayne Johnson? I've never heard of him before. But no, this is a big night for Shamrock. Going into the Impact Wrestling Hall of Fame and then having this match with Eddie Edwards should be a good match. I'm not expecting it to be the best match of the show. Don't worry, Jim. I'm not expecting it to be the best match. I think I'm going to say Edwards wins, but I just got a feeling that Shamrock will win it. But I'm going to pick Eddie Edwards. EC3 will face Moose in an undisclosed location. This has actually been one of the more interesting stories going into Bound for Glory. EC3 took the TNA World Heavyweight title from Moose. Moose has been looking for it ever since. And now we're going to have this fight at an undisclosed location. This could be a pretty entertaining match, to be honest, but Moose has a track record. Every time I've seen him wrestle on an Impact pay-per-view, he wins. So I'm going to stick with the trend, and I'm going to say Moose beats EC3. Then we have a six-way scramble match for the X Division title. Rohit Raju will defend the title against Chris Bay, Trey Miguel, TJP, Jordan Grace, and Willie Mack. Hey, X Division, no limits. You know, I mean, no weight limit. Why can't the women have a shot? I actually like it. I think it's going to be a fun match. Raju is that very good, scared heel champion. But something tells me they're going to put the belt on Jordan Grace. Jordan Grace is a very good wrestler. I really like her. I think she's a tremendous athlete. I think they're going to put the X Division title on her. She could be the first woman to ever be the X Division champion. Deonna Purrazzo will defend the Knockouts title against Kylie Rae. This should be a really good match. I'm going to say Deonna retains the title. She's been there for a couple of months. They put the belt on her at Slammiversary. I think they really like what she's doing in the ring. Nothing against Kylie Rae. Kylie's a great wrestler, but I think Purrazzo's going to retain the Knockouts title. Then we have a four-way match for the Impact Tag Team titles. The Motor City Machine Guns, almost called them the Motor City Meat Guns. Motor City Machine Guns are going to defend the titles against Ace Austin and Madman Fulton, the Good Brothers, and the North. This almost became a three-way because the North had been tested recently for COVID-19, and fortunately, neither one of them tested positive, so they will be involved in the match. Look, I like the Machine Guns. They're a really good tag team, but I don't see them keeping the belts. I think Austin and Fulton are going to win the tag team titles. I'm sure a lot of people are probably saying that, you know, Gallows and Anderson are going to win the belts. I don't think it's time yet for them to win the belts, so I'm going to say Austin and Fulton win the Impact tag team titles. And the main event of Bound for Glory, Eric Young defends the Impact World title against Rich Swann. I know some people are not, you know, it's like the match should be good based off the story, but it just doesn't feel like a main event. That's what I've been reading, you know, in some places. Well, it remains to be seen. Let's see how this works out. I think Eric Young's going to retain the title. He just won the belt. You're not going to take the belt off of him after a month to give it to Rich Swann. Will Rich Swann be a world champion? Maybe. But I don't think Saturday's the day. I think Eric Young's going to retain the title. And that is the preview for Bound for Glory. And now we're going to go to Hell. Hell in a Cell. Because that is the event on Sunday night. And I have to say, I'm actually interested in the three Hell in a Cell matches. They look very good. But before I get to those, I'm going to talk about the one match that is, as of this recording, scheduled. I think everything else is probably going to be told tonight on SmackDown. Jeff Hardy against Elias. I think Elias is going to win this match. I mean, God, he's got an album coming out the next day. Why wouldn't Elias win this match? Just saying. Okay, so now to the three Hell in a Cell matches. The first one, the SmackDown Women's title, Bayley will defend against Sasha Banks. Bayley's had the belt for a year. And it's been a very good reign. She's been a very good heel. Sasha Banks is the only woman to have competed in the two women Hell in a Cell matches. And after Sunday, she'll be the only woman to have competed in three women Hell in a Cell matches. She's 0-2. I think she's going to be 0-3. Bayley will retain the SmackDown Women's title. I think Sasha will win it eventually, but I just don't see it happening inside Hell in a Cell. Drew McIntyre to defend the WWE title against Randy Orton. Look, I've missed two in a row on this. If Randy Orton does not win the WWE title this Sunday, then we know that, you know, it just was never meant to be. God, I want to say Drew, but there's something in my mind that's saying Randy's going to win this. You know what? I'm going to say Drew wins. I say Drew keeps the title. He's been a very well-deserving champion, a very good champion. So I say he's going to retain. And the last Hell in a Cell match, Roman Reigns defends the Universal title against Jey Uso in an I Quit match. So, basically, it's real simple, folks. The only way to win is to make the other guy say, I quit. And this is going to be contested in the cell. Roman has to win this, right? I mean, there's no other option. Roman Reigns has to win this match. So, that's what I think it'll be. The other matches, like I said, will probably be announced on SmackDown tonight. So, by the time you're listening to this, either you will have heard my predictions on those matches before or after tonight's SmackDown airs. So, on that note, that is going to wrap it up for this week. But before I go, let's get into the plugs. If you have any questions or comments, send an email, wrestlingman@thatwrestlingshow.com. Don't forget to follow the show on Twitter at WrestlingShow11. Follow us on Instagram at That Wrestling Show. Join our Facebook group. It is That Wrestling Show Fan Group. Visit our store, teespring.com/That Wrestling Show Podcast. And visit our Patreon page, patreon.com/That Wrestling Show, for extra content. This week on Another Digital Citizen, they reviewed The Kid Detective, plus the news of the week, Tron Tells the Truth, and a very interesting tournament, the Best Hamburger Topping Ever Tournament. Geez, my final would come down to cheese and ketchup. I would say cheese would win the tournament, especially when it's melted. That's my pick. So you'll have to tune in to see what they say or hear what they say this week on Another Digital Citizen. Check out our Vantage Point, the retro wrestling podcast with Joe Murata and Michael Quinn. They take you through the world of retro wrestling. This week, they discuss what would have happened if the WWF had lost the Monday Night War. Plus, week 4 of the Royal Rankings of Best Factions, and a review of WWA Wrestling from 1974. Believe me, this is quite an interesting review. Check it out on our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast. If you like your wrestling podcasts hosted by one individual, I mean, I know I'm hosting this one by myself for the time being, check out Greetings from Allentown with Peter Winston. He watches one episode of wrestling each week in his own way. This week, he reviews an episode of WCW Worldwide from February 7, 1998. And also check out GFA Live. He and Keithy are going through the best of the WWF video series. They should have a new one coming out real soon. That is Greetings from Allentown. Check out Juice Pro Wrestling, where this week they interview wrestler, entrepreneur, model, and metal vocalist Viva Van, the Hellbent Vixen. Will join them this week as she discusses Impact, AAA, PCW Ultra, her love for horror flicks, and much, much more. That is this week on Juice Pro Wrestling. Also, check out Two Fans Review Wrestling Podcast. They go in their own little time machine and go through the Monday Night Wars. This week, they review In Your House Triple Header, plus the Monday Night Wars, ECW Superstars, WCW Saturday Night, and much more. That is on Two Fans Review Wrestling Podcast. Now, if you're looking for podcasts that are not wrestling related, check out the Best Pick Movie Podcast with Tom, John, and Jess. These three watch each and every Academy Award winning Best Picture winner in no particular order. This week, they reviewed the Best Picture winner of 1976, Rocky. And this is a pretty stacked year for this Academy Awards. I'm gonna read off to you guys the nominees for Best Picture. Besides Rocky, we had All the President's Men, Bound for Glory, Network, and Taxi Driver. Those were the nominees for Best Picture that year. Holy cow, what a packed year. Between the five, I would pick All the President's Men. That would be my pick. So check it out, the Best Pick Pod, and you can decide for yourself if the Academy got it right or not. Check out the Three Stooges podcast with Gabe Russo. He watches each and every Three Stooges short. This week, he reviews False Alarms. The Three Stooges are firemen. So that should be a pretty good review. Check it out, the Three Stooges throwback. Also, check out Unspooled with Paul and Amy, as this time around, they're going to watch 100 movies. And the ultimate goal is that they will get all 100 of these movies sent into outer space so another life, another existence of being can watch these movies. This week, they discuss Night of the Living Dead. That is actually one of my favorite movies of all time. It is a fun movie. If you've never seen it, go check it out this week on Unspooled. Also, check out Last Stop Penn Station with Carrie Silkin and Ian Riccoboni as we go into the life of Carrie Silkin. This week, Carrie discusses Bobby Heenan and Jim Cornette. Oh my goodness, that's going to be a fun one to listen to. Last Stop Penn Station. Also, check out The Castle Vault, a chronological deep dive of Disney animated films powered by Disney+. This week, they watch the 2007 movie, Meet the Robinsons. You know, I've seen it a few times, but I've never been able to get through the whole thing. So, should be very interesting. Also, check out Dave and Ethan's 2000-inch Weird Al podcast, where they discuss everything Weird Al Yankovic. This week, they finalize the definitive top five songs from Weird Al's even worse album with help from guest Angel Valenzuela. So check that out. Dave and Ethan's 2000-inch Weird Al podcast. And check out Sharks Pond, a South Park podcast where I watch and review each and every South Park episode ever. This week, I discuss what many people consider to be one of the best South Park episodes of all time, maybe the greatest South Park episode of all time, Make Love, Not Warcraft. You'll get to hear my thoughts on it and get to learn something new as well. That is this week on Sharks Pond, a South Park podcast. Okay, so next week, it's a jammed show. It is the day before Halloween, and unfortunately, a lot of the kids, and maybe some adults, you never know, won't be able to go trick-or-treating this year. But not here on That Wrestling Show. We're going to have trick-or-treaters come to our house, or to our studio during the annual Halloween episode. Who knows who's going to show up at the front door of the studio next week for the Halloween episode of That Wrestling Show, one of my favorite shows of the entire year, plus going to review Bound for Glory and Hell in a Cell and so much more. So on that note, everybody have a good, safe weekend. Have fun, no matter what it is that you do. And when you're done, come back here next week for another episode of That Wrestling Show, the only podcast where all pro wrestling matters. And as always, the British Bulldog's gonna win, whether he wants to or not.